So our scripture passage this morning is again coming from John chapter 14, and this morning it will be read by Linda Tent.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's scripture reading is from John 14, verses 15 through 21. This is Jesus speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, and you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda, for that reading. So in the church calendar, we are still in the season of Easter. As I mentioned earlier, today is the sixth Sunday of Easter. But we are driving towards Pentecost, as I just mentioned with our children. Next Sunday is the seventh and last Sunday of the Easter season. And then the following Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to do something a little different for worship to close out the Easter season. Pentecost is right around the corner. And on the way there, on the way to Pentecost, we run through another day in the liturgical church calendar. The day that is marked for observing or celebrating the ascension of the Lord. This particular year, it falls on this Thursday, I believe. After his resurrection, but before Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church, Jesus ascends, right? Think of those lines in the Apostles' Creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, I bring all that up because that is exactly what Jesus is preparing his disciples for in our passage from John this morning. Where we pick up where we left off last week with Jesus preparing his disciples for the time he will no longer be physically present with them. Or at least in the same way, right? And what that means for them. If you remember from last week, the context and the setting, the disciples are beginning to get an inkling that things are going to get hard and tough, and they'll look around and they won't see Jesus, their friend, their rabbi, their teacher, their Lord. They'll look around and they won't see him anymore. And the temptation will be to think and believe that they have been abandoned. But Jesus is saying, no. No, it might feel like that. It might even look like that sometimes, but that is not what is going on. And in this, as Jesus continues to assure his disciples, one of the things that begins to get teased out a bit here in these seven verses from John that we just read is what we would call the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. And I, the Son, will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This other advocate is the Spirit of truth, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we're going to get into a little bit here just in just a moment why this matters and why this is not just a weird, embarrassing, dry and dusty and confusing doctrine that maybe only really seems to serve as a jobs program for theologians writing books. But before we do that, before we get into why it matters for us, we do need to understand a little bit about what we mean when we talk about the Trinity. That there is one God that exists in full unity. There is one God, but that also at the same time exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God, but at the same time, the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father. These three persons are distinct, and yet one. One God, three persons. And to make it even more difficult to wrap our heads around, if you have the Father, you don't have a third of God, you have God. If you have the Son, you don't have a third of God, you have God. If you have the Spirit, you don't have a third of God, you have God. And I hope right now you are struggling to wrap your mind around it, right? Maybe saying, I need another cup of coffee, and pausing and going and pouring another cup of coffee, and maybe even asking again why all of this matters. Right? Why does something so confusing and hard to grasp matter? Trying to sort out how the math adds up and how there could be one God but three persons and each respective person is fully and wholly and completely God, and yet each respective person is distinct from the other two persons, and yet there is still only one God. It is enough to give you a headache trying to wrap your brain around it. So don't, at least right now. That's not to say that there's not a lot that we could and should think through and dive in and explore and tease out and say about this. And it's not because we should just, well, maybe sheepishly apologize and say, you know, this is an embarrassing problem for the church, and so maybe if we just kind of ignore it and sweep it under the rug, it will just go away and people won't ask us about it, we won't have to think about it. But it is to say, I am saying, don't try to wrap your heads around it right now, today at least. Don't try to do that. Because instead, I'm going to invite us now this morning to instead try to wrap our hearts around it. Or maybe even better, to let it wrap itself around us and around our hearts. In the same passage here where we can kind of start to get into all this stuff about the Father and the Son and the Spirit, there is also this language that keeps popping up of keeping Jesus' commandments. And remember, this passage, this whole thing Jesus is talking about, it is all in the context of assuring his disciples, of knowing that you are not left alone and orphaned, and being assured that God dwells and abides with you. And not just the singular, isolated you. But maybe as our more southern sisters and brothers might say, what Jesus is saying, if we translate it into southern grammar, Jesus is saying, I won't let y'all be orphaned. So be assured, friends, that God dwells and abides, not even with y'all, but God dwells and abides with all y'all. And I'm going to ask you now to just hold on to that thought, that Jesus is saying y'all, not you individual, but y'all together, all of y'all. I'm going to ask you to hold on to that thought, the y'alls that Jesus is using here. Hold on to them. And then we're going to pull them back in here in just a bit. Our passage begins with Jesus saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What does that mean? Right? Is Jesus saying that, that love is all about bossing people around and making them obey what you want them to obey? No. No. In fact, quite the opposite, because what are his commandments? What are they? What did Jesus say was the hinge point of all the law and the prophets? What did he say was the essence of every command of God? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself, right? And earlier, on this very same night that this conversation here in John chapter 14 is taking place, possibly even on the very same page of your Bible, Jesus says this right towards the end of chapter 13, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And it's by this, by your love for one another, that everyone will know that you are my disciples. And remember again that Jesus says this. He gives this command just shortly, right after he had just washed his disciples' feet as a demonstration of the kind of life he was calling them to. The dirty, stinky, calloused feet of those often arguing and frustratingly slow to understand disciples who abandoned him later that very night when he needed them the most. He washed the dirty, stinky, calloused feet of Peter, the one who will soon go out on those very feet and deny ever knowing Jesus. He washed the dirty, stinky, calloused feet of Judas, who just a moment later gets up to go, clean feet and all, to betray Jesus. He washed the dirty, stinky, calloused feet of those who couldn't even stay awake during Jesus' most anguishing time. And he says this as he is preparing to give himself up, not just for the sake of his friends, but for the sake of his enemies too. He washes their feet, knowing he is about to be handed over. And then he says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. And this is how people will know who you belong to. And so the love, the real honest-to-goodness love, right? Not the greeting card feelings that we often confuse it with, but the real deal kind of love that shows itself in things like this. Well, let's make no mistake about what he's talking about when he now says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He is saying, if you love me, you love God, and therefore you love your neighbor as yourself. If you love me, you love one another just as I have loved you. If your life is caught up in my life, if who you are is caught up in who I am, Jesus is saying, and who I am, he says, is defined by that kind of self-giving, sacrificial, serving others kind of love, then your lives will also be caught up in the life of one another, giving yourself to one another in love and service, washing the dirty, stinky, calloused feet of one another, not because they deserve it, but in fact, maybe precisely because they don't. Living sacrificially and lovingly, faithfully for the benefit and the good of one another. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, people will know. So let me say this. Take just a moment and say this a little bit about the climate in which we live. We live in a society that values freedom. And freedom is good. Freedom is good, but for the Christian, freedom is never primarily about, it is never good simply because it allows us to say, what do I have the right to go and do for myself? But it is always about, what am I able to do? What am I freed to do to better love others? Because that's what it is to love, not the kind of love that looks like a Hallmark card, but the kind of love that comes shaped like a cross. That's who you are to be to one another, Jesus says. That's what it is to obey his commandments. Because, he says, because that's who I am to you. And that's who I am for you. And yes, Jesus is saying, yes, that is a tall order. But guess what, dear disciples? Guess what? I, Jesus, will ask the Father to send another advocate. Jesus is the other one, but he is not going to be around too much longer. At least not in the same way. In fact, he has to go so that the Holy Spirit can come to be with you, to be with y'all. And by the way, Jesus says, you already know him because he abides with y'all and he will be in and among y'all, right? Jesus is standing right there in front of them as a person confined by a body. Jesus is a person confined by a body like all people are. He can only be in one place at once. But the Spirit is coming, he promises. The Spirit is coming to abide not just with those who happen to be in the general geographic area of wherever Jesus happens to be, but to be in and among all his disciples in all places and at all times. And so this giving of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is promising here, that Jesus is assuring his disciples of, it is connected to all that crazy sounding stuff that Jesus has to say here about on that day. You will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them. And just a few verses past where we stopped this morning, Jesus keeps going on this theme and says, picks it up again and says, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And you have heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming to you. Why? Because the Spirit is coming to dwell in and among you. And if you have the Spirit is dwelling in and among you. You have the fullness of God dwelling in and among and with you. What Jesus is doing is describing not some dry, dusty, hard to understand logic puzzle of a doctrine of the Trinity, but he is describing the great and beautiful dance of the one God in three persons that invites us to also be swept off our feet and caught up in this fellowship and communion and koinonia. Do you remember that word? This community of love that is so deep and powerful that to dance with one is to dance with all. It's to get swept up off our feet into the great dance of God. And so Jesus promises, through the Spirit, in and among you, you have God in all his fullness in and among you. And so it is through this gift of the Spirit that your life, and let's not miss this, your life together as God's people, our life together as God's people, whatever the geography looks like, it gets caught up in the very life and love of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And just as that description of this Trinitarian relationship that we see emerging here, just as that is fundamental to who God is, it is fundamental to who we are called to be. As we get caught up in God's selfless, self-giving love of his, for his people, we now get caught up in that same love for one another, and it becomes fundamental to who we are as disciples, how we show, how the world knows that we are. That's how we bear witness to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the world. That's what it is to keep his commandments. It's to keep the dance going and continuing to invite others to likewise get swept off their feet and join in this great dance of God. Because love cannot exist in isolation. And when God had not yet created, God still existed. And God is love. God has always existed, even when there was no creation, and yet essential and fundamental to who God is love. Love can only exist when it is able to be expressed. And that can only happen within a relationship of some kind. The one God, who alone is eternal, has always been God, been the God expressing himself in love, because that is who God fundamentally is, and God is fundamentally Father, Son, and Spirit, always existing together, expressing both essential unity and essential distinctiveness in this great eternal dance of selfless, self-giving relationship and love with and to and for one another. Without that, you may have a God, but it is not a God who can say, I am love itself. You may have a God that issues all sorts of commands, but it is not a God. Unless you have that, it is not a God who has love as the basis of all its commandments. Right? Do you see the connection going on here between who God fundamentally is, the love that is the Father, that is in the Father, Son, and Spirit, and who God's people are fundamentally called to be? And that's why, going back to where we started, the y'all is so important. Jesus is saying that your calling as his disciples is not just about your individual or my individual salvation, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is not just about your individual connection with God or my individual connection with God. It is intimately connected to our life together as his people. And that life is to be a life defined by that cross-shaped, foot-washing kind of love for one another. The kind of love that washes the dirty, stinky, calloused feet of even and maybe especially the person you think might have it in for you. And that's why I invite you not to worry about trying to wrap your head or your brain around this thing called the Trinity. It was never about trying to sit down and figure out who God is, but rather it was always about letting the great, beautiful dance and fellowship of God wrap itself around you and your heart. But it was always about explaining what getting caught up in the life of God was like. And to therefore know, to know, friends, that yes, right now, in this season, we are worshiping each in our own homes, but we are never worshiping alone. That yes, we may be scattered and separated, but we are not left alone. That yes, we may find ourselves sure feeling like Jesus ain't here with us, we are never, ever apart from God. And so let me suggest that if and when you find yourself just not feeling connected to God, feeling spiritually dry, or looking around and feeling and wondering, where has God gone in all of this? Prayer is good. Scripture reading is good. Worship is good. But I would also add, give someone a call and chat for a bit. Find a way to connect with someone. Maybe even if you're feeling really disconnected, find someone who may not deserve it, and then find a way to faithfully love and serve them. Yes, right now, in this season, from a distance, out of love, but find a way to love them nonetheless, to connect with sisters and brothers, neighbors, communities. Because if what Jesus is saying here is true, family, when we are obedient to love like that, we are actually entering into, our feet are beginning to tap along with the dance of the fellowship of God. Our hearts are able to get wrapped up more and more into who God is. The more we open ourselves up to the Spirit abiding in us, then there is no doubt that more and more the presence of the Spirit, which is the very presence of God, abiding in and among us, it will be seen and experienced, not just by others looking in or looking at us as a church, whatever that looks like right now, but also seen and experienced by us. More and more, we will come to know the assurance and the promise of God's very presence with us. That is His Jesus. That is His promise and assurance to those disciples all those years ago, and that is His promise and assurance to you today, in this place, and in this time, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next week, and month, and year. That is the promise that He is making to you here, as He makes it to His disciples all those years ago. Family, that is the call and the promise of His commandments. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And on that day, Jesus says, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I am in you. Alleluia. Sisters and brothers, alleluia. So let's now sing, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.